from the heart of Europe to the world. Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones. R-E-I.
Welcome back to Postcard from Pop Rock. Part two is here of our Aussie Week special. It's all down to Rachel. If you don't like it, complain to Rachel at rti.fm. this is written in Aussie. It's got to be. Leave your knickers at the gate, but bring an extra dash, that means running fast, of sunscreen.
I understand why you said that, Rachel. That's Rachel's headline. I think that's a very good headline. Bit risque.
Thank you very much.
A bit allusionary to the gentleman's sausage area.
Is it?
That's exactly precisely where I was going.
Bring an extra...
Me and Rachel understand each other.
Bring an extra running fast of sunscreen. No, don't get it.
No.
No?
A dollop. I should have said a dollop.
A dollop, yeah. A dollop for you. Dollop, yeah.
Yeah. Stop it. clothes must be left. I know about this sort of stuff. Clothes must be left at the gates of the Northern Territory's newest caravan park. Really? Uh-huh. It was about a mile and a half from where I used to live. It was a park.
Aye.
With tents and things in it. Where they did this. It was, well, yes, it was. What's this all about then, Rach?
All right, Northern Territory. This is where I live.
This
is why I'm including this story. Because I'm including what I'm surrounded by. Okay, now it's very, very warm.
Hang on. For example, you lived somewhere else. You drive 3,000 kilometres?
3,470.
So that means there was a desire to go to Darwin. And now Rachel's going to tell us all about a nudist park.
It wasn't a desire of mine. It might have been a Rob's because he's a bit of a nudist around the house, but I won't go there. Now, the planning minister, Peter Chandler, of the Northern Territory, he's given the big tick to this new...
Did you say tick?
Tick.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I didn't say that other thing.
No.
And do you know what? It's already got a waiting list. For the next dry season, which is what we call winter, because we don't actually have winter up here. But the temperature is always very warm in Darwin, in Northern Territory. For example, right now it is 10:12 p.m. on a Friday night. Outside it is 32 degrees and it is 92% humidity because we're about to enter the wet season where it just rains a lot.
Right.
Anyway, they've opened this caravan park because there's no better place to be nude than in the Territory, apparently. To describe nudity, it's the same as the grey nomads. They just do it without clothing. Now,
right. But we're in Australia. We're wandering around naked. With all the bugs that you've got there that can hurt you.
Oh, heck.
It's not the bugs that are a problem because they're repellents for those bugs. Those bugs, it's a bit of, yes, they exist, but you very rarely see them in populated areas because their ecosystems are upset, so you don't see them. And if you've got enough repellent on, the thing that will get you in the Northern Territory or in Australia or anywhere is the fact that we used to have an ozone layer and now we don't. So your bits will get shriveled, and I don't mean because it's cold in the fall.
Right.
Yeah, so it's
not like walking into the North Sea then and your bits all go...
No.
Suck up the sea.
Yes.
There's quite a serious point with this story, though, and I don't think Mr. Jensen has done himself any favours at all with the way he's presented. This really could have been a brilliant bit of publicity for something which is inherently not a bad thing to do. But at the moment, nudists, do you remember when Health and Efficiency was about? And it was the magazine about nudists and you'd have families, whole families, playing volleyball and tennis and things like that. And it was innocent and it was seen as innocent. Unfortunately, for people in these circumstances, nudists, because of this the awful things that have been coming out, about, particularly about sexual assaults on children, we're starting now to view people who have a desire not to be a textile person, but want to be a nudist in front of other people with some strange attitudes towards them.
I'll tell you what, Lee, there's only one thing or one time would you ever get me into a nudist colony? Only one time.
There.
Nope. There's only one time. And that would be when I visited the liposuction doctor next door and spent a week there first. Because well, there is no why.
Listen, this is what Mr. Jensen said. What? And I think this is what he's just, I think he's just done himself no favours at all. He was asked the question, how many orgies and swingers are there in the nudist fraternity? And he says exactly the same as in textile land. I mean, that's a ludicrous thing to say. Because I tell you what, if that's true, get all your kids out of these nudist colonies and things like that. If that's, if they are actually in danger, and Mr. Jensen's admitted it.
Well, he was just clutching for a soundbite, wasn't he, to make it good.
Exactly, what a ludicrous thing to say.
I know.
He's a fool. He's a man's fool. And he's come out quite rightly, taken his knickers off and said he's a fool. So, you know, wave your knickers in the air, Mr. Jensen, because, you know, that's about as much as you can do at this point.
Let's just say here that I don't think any of us think there is anything inherently wrong in being nude. That's your real state of life. The textile
That's
life
right.
is not the way you were born.
Don't you remember in the early 90s, Lee, the big headlines in the paper?
I probably wrote them. Go on.
Yeah, you probably did, knowing you. But it was really funny. When satellites started to really take off in the UK, it meant that British satellite homes were able to access German television.
Yes.
You know where I'm going now.
Yeah.
So what you would have is you would watch the advert on the British television and the young lady would get into the bath with the bikini on and be covered in bubbles. The German girl would get into the bath with no clothes on and be covered in bubbles. No sex, please, we're British, you know? Sip up a lip, Rodriguez, yes, absolutely. Oh, no, okay. Anyway, another thing that's a bit weird in the UK, because whilst there is knife crime everywhere in the UK, they're actually kind of frowned upon these days, whereas where I am, you can go to a shop and buy a great big Aussie-style Bowie knife. And just sort of wander home with it. Nobody cares.
Mm-hmm.
But in Australia, this guy, Barry Lynch, when I first started to read this story, I'm going, oh, no, it's going to be really horrible. But then it turned out not to be as horrible as I thought it was going to be. It just sort of says what I think of Rachel's production really here, doesn't it? Yeah, knife story, Rachel. It's going to be the horror channel.
Yep.
But it wasn't.
It is. Well, you know I watch the crime channel a lot.
Exactly.
So I can understand why you went there.
Right. So Barry Lynch gets right out of trouble with a knife.
With his dad's knife.
His dad's
this
knife.
Is not a, he, yeah. He Well, his father gave it to him. It was his father's pocket knife.
Mm.
And he left it to Barry when he died. Now, Barry, 54-year-old grandfather Barry, is a farmer. He's on his Queensland property, but he had to dig himself out of a tricky situation. A tractor fell on him.
Ouch.
On his left leg.
Hold on, no, come on. We are now seeing pink elephants. Tractor falls on bloke, penknife gets him out.
Yep. The tractor fell on him. This happened at around about 7:30 a.m., so that's really important, okay? He used his pocket knife to burrow under the injury of his leg, so he had room to manoeuvre, and then he could actually hoist himself out from under the vehicle. Now, his quote is this, I thought nobody's going to miss me until maybe 7 p.m, so I started digging.
Good logic.
Now, this is brilliant.
It's good logic.
Now, he was in immense pain, and he apparently said that he could see his leg going black and starting to crack.
Mm.
So he thought, I really need to dig myself out of here.
Horror channel.
Quickly. He was digging himself out for 6 hours. He managed to do what he had intended to do, which was dig under. See, the dirt was so dry, he was able to, so it wasn't going to collapse underneath him as he dug, which you would automatically think the dirt would do. But instead, he managed to burrow under his leg, managed to slide himself out, get to the cabin, reach for his mobile phone and call for help. This is 6 hours later, mind you. And what's really remarkable is that the doctors were able to save his leg.
Brilliant.
It's good.
Excellent.
So the rule.
That's not a knife. This is a knife.
Well, I'll say it's very similar story around here, where I live in the village of the Damned. There was there's loads of us surrounded by farms, but there was a farm just down the road from here, and this was a potentially a real horror story, just like this. but had a miracle outcome. And it's awful. It's really terrible what happened. But this lad, I think he was about 9 at the time. He was working on, or he was on the farm with his father, and he actually fell under the back wheels of the tractor. But he fell under with his head. And yeah, but like, unlike in Australia where the ground's really solid and dry, in England, it's soft. And also, because of all the slurry that was across the yard at the time, the tractor pushed his head beneath the slurry and carried on. They dragged the lad out and he was fine.
Blimey, that was lucky.
Incredible.
Amazing. Physics is scary.
So anyway, Rachel was now going to apply for a PR job with the Swiss Army Knife Company.
Yes, I am. I love this knife. It digs you out of a lot of sticky situations.
Right, first of all now, Rach, who the dickens is Miranda Kerr?
Straight away I have to just disown you. Oh. Miranda Kerr is our most famous model. She's married to a British fellow.
Is he?
Called Orlando Bloom, who is famous for many things, but also he's mostly famous for being in the Lord of the Rings trilogy as the elf Legolas. She's a Victoria Secret. Pirates of the Caribbean. He did all those, and he's been in other.
Oh, he's done Pirates of the Caribbean, so he's done a good film.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Miranda Kerr is. She's lovely. They're married and they have a little boy. She's 30. She's the ambassador for this and that and everything
she's
else. But
gorgeous.
She's beautiful. She was in the I'd turn.
I'm googling.
But she's a Victoria. She's a Victoria's Secret model. Blah blah blah. Anyway, she's gone to Paris because it's Fashion Week in Paris.
Is it?
So she's arrived late at this Louis Vuitton show, which would have been fine, except that she meant to be at the Vinod show.
So, in other words, there was no show to the other show, and a no show in the wrong show.
Yeah, her quote unquote stupid driver made her really late, but she raced across Paris in her cobblestone, you know, the cobblestones in Paris, in her thigh high boots, and she made it in time. But she's usually very composed, and I think the nastiest thing she's ever said out loud is stupid driver. So, yes, she was unfashionably late for a fashion show.
None of that meant a lot to me.
Well, it's simple, isn't it?
Oh.
You've got this gorgeously gorgeous model who's married to a famously famous English actor who missed a fashion show, was late for a fashion show.
Oh. Mm-hmm. So fashion show. Was there any cars there?
Cars?
No. No. You don't care now. I know. You don't care. I can hear it plummeting.
Yeah.
This is why I wanted to do Australia's show, because 9 times out of 10, you guys do stories that I don't understand. So I thought I'd throw in.
Here's one you'll understand. This is a breaking bit of news on the BBC, and it's a hindsight piece where it says that when Australia had its first female prime minister, it was predicted that the economy would crash, probably into the back of another economy.
It did. Anyway, I love this story. This is quite funny. Call me. Yes, idiot. See, it just goes to prove my logic about tech journalism. Yeah. Obviously done by a non-tech journalist who didn't know what he or she was talking about.
A so-called expert.
Yeah, one of those.
Why is that? Because she got a phone number on telly.
Well, because anybody who knew the tech would know it was going to go onto camera and therefore would have covered it up.
That's nothing to do with being technically aware.
Of course it is.
No, it isn't. That's just being a woman.
It's just
No. It wasn't her fault.
No, Rachel, let's gang up on him. Come on, Rach. Come on, we're
going to gang up on him. Yeah.
The demonstrator for the smartwatch contacted this lady's number, the host, Samantha Armitage, and then her number flashed up on the smartwatch screen while he was demonstrating it. Within minutes, this woman was receiving 1,000 calls on air, but she's a very well-natured girl. She's a bubbly blonde, and she got a few marriage proposals out of it too.
So who are you saying, Eric?
What?
Whose fault was this then?
The demonstrator, the journalist.
Not the host.
Not the host. It wasn't her. His Samantha was Armitage has clearly said to the other journalist, look, just to demonstrate it, you call my mobile and we can show it working. Yes.
I just think that's an unholy attack on journalism. Yes, again. It was just an accident.
It's a holy attack on demonstrators who are unqualified to be on television.
Correct.
But it doesn't. And who says this demonstrator was a journalist in the first place?
They always are.
You are.
Right.
They always are.
She later tweeted that she was all good. She got a new number. She said, thanks for the proposals, though. She was quite chuffed about the proposals.
I'm sure she was. Yeah, actually, she is quite a nice looking young lady, isn't she?
You're
tube
again, are you?
No, but you can't. Samantha Armitage is on several TV programs where they talk about news and stuff from other parts of the world.
Yeah.
Well, that's on the news.
So why are you telling me that?
Well, because I wasn't Googling her.
So you're saying that you've watched her on a regular basis?
No, I've seen her a couple of times on these shows where they talk about other news channels. Have you not seen it?
I never see anything.
No, exactly. So you've never watched the BBC in England then?
Okay, I watch the BBC in England quite a lot, actually. Yeah, why? Is she on there?
I wouldn't be at all surprised when they do the nightly, every day of the week, they do a nightly look at what the news channels and newsy programmes are on about around the world. And they often have Australia on there, Lee.
Right, I am now going to Google her.
Samantha Armitage.
Yes.
That's what I'm doing.
Can we talk about Samantha
Armitage?
No, I think. What?
Fishing.
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 Can we talk about fishing?
If you want.
Yeah,
do you
want to, sure,
do you
show.
Want to do, the other, do you want to do the other one?
Let's just have a discussion about this for all the listeners at home whilst they're sitting there going.
I told you.
Yes.
She's 5'9", Eric. You wouldn't have a chance.
I could stand on a box. I could stand on a box.
Oh, she was born 19th, September the 4th, 19th. I am in love with her.
Hello, Samantha Armitage. Lee Banks is in love. If anybody from security is listening in Australia, don't let him in the country. Bad
move. I'm going to hold her up.
Keep him away from the Martin Street studios at Channel 7 in the morning so he can wave through the window like they do on that other show.
I'm going to phone her up.
Yeah, right. Come on then. Fishing is very prevalent because one of my colleagues was saying he got up very, very early this morning, incredibly early, and between 6 and 8 this morning, he was out fishing and caught 3 rather large pike. And
that's great.
I said, I hate you. I didn't think
again. Where was he fishing?
In the Czech Republic.
Oh, right. I see.
Yes.
In I was going to say in the water.
Not in the river outside of the city.
No. Although it has to be said that the fishing season's in full swing here. And as I drove to the office this morning past the Carp Lake with the local fishing club, there was a guy getting a huge carp out. And I'm going, I wish I was doing that.
Oh, carp are a menace. We kill them.
I know you do.
Why? Well, yeah, we kill them as well. We eat them.
They poison all the other fish.
Why?
They kill all the ecosystem and they destroy all the other fish. They're actually toxic to our fish.
Really? Are they?
If you put them back in the water, you can get fined.
They're not actually toxic, really, boys and girls. They are
and
toxic.
And you can't eat them. They taste horrid.
No. Top tip. If you want to eat carp, which they do here in Slovakia at Christmas time, what you do is you catch the carp, you put it in a huge water tank with clean water in it. And as long as there's lots of water flowing and there's air in there and everything else, what happens after a few days is the muddy taste that you would get by eating carp, because they're bottom feeders. I knew
they
that
sure
was.
Are.
I would knew that was coming because they are bottom feeders. they get all cleaned up and the fish actually tastes rather nice.
They do. I'm
here to tell you that the best tasting fish in the universe. The universe.
Barramundi.
Now that we've discovered
bagel
there
fish.
is water on Mars.
Mm-hmm.
is the barramundi.
I know.
This particular gentleman in the Northern Territory, again where I live, because that's where all the barramundi.
See how she brought it back to this story then, Eric. That was professional.
That was good, wasn't it? It wasn't bad.
That was excellent.
Thank you very much. I segued back. And now he's
not a fishing term. Gentleman.
Sort of. Yeah, I was fishing back for my story.
just reeling us in.
I really am. Now, I'm just baiting you. In the Northern Territory where I live, this is particularly a good place for barramundi fishing, but you can only do it at certain times of the day because the crocodiles are active. So you have to miss the crocodiles, otherwise that all goes horribly wrong. Now, this gentleman has caught an 87-centimetre barramundi while fishing from his car window while driving through a river.
Oh, right. That's pink
elephant. Would you like fries with that, I ask?
That's another pink elephant. It's a pink...
feet.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's a big fish.
Mm-hmm. That's how big they grow. This is only 2 or 3 kilometres from where he lives, and they were spotlighting along the way. So he's passed a rod out the window, and then as soon as it's hit the water, he goes, I'm on. And he caught this grey honking fish. Now, we love this guy because he's always got a rifle under the seat and a rod in the car. This is where I live.
It's redneck land, Americans.
It really is. But he didn't have to get out. He said, we don't fish out of the window a lot. So I always have a lookout. It's just a lazy man's fishing. And the fishos have been travelling in the Deniliquin Ute Muster in New South Wales, but are always kitted out for the outdoor lifestyle in the Territory. We've always got a rifle under the seat and carry a rod.
I think that's a heinous attack on this man, saying it's the lazy way, man's way of fishing. Because all he was doing is sitting in the seat in a car. If he'd have been sitting by the river, he'd have been sitting on a deck chair.
But he said it, Lee.
He's just causing publicity.
I love it.
I think it's wonderful.
It's a lovely story.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Barramundi, 4 foot long, though. Blinking heck. You need a lot of chips
That's good size, but they can get bigger if the crocs don't get them first.
Yeah, but it's a lovely white fish as well, isn't it? The meat, the flesh of it. It's almost meaty.
It's like steak, but not steak.
Yes.
It's, you know, tuna steaks and the denseness of tuna. It's like that. It's very dense. It's very meaty. It's very compact. But it cooks up a storm, I'll tell you.
Sling it on the barbie.
Sling it on the barbie.
Chuck it on the hob.
Rolling Stones are reportedly being headhunted, I wouldn't use the term, I say courted, by the South Australian government to play the opening concert at the renovated Adelaide Oval next year. Well, they wouldn't want to get Adele there because she's rubbish. So I suppose the Strolling Bones are the next best thing, aren't they?
Well, they want to get the oldest band in the universe to commemorate one of the country's oldest ovals. Because everything smells like formaldehyde in Adelaide. It's got the biggest aging population. It's God's waiting room, basically. That's why I left.
It's Bournemouth.
It's really awful. But, of course, the opposition's come out and said, while Premier Wetherill was considering throwing money at the Rolling Stones, you know, his government is cutting nurses and health services. And given that Adelaide has the most ageing population in the country, I'm thinking, so you want to pay the geriatrics, but you don't want to pay the nurses who look after the geriatrics.
No, wrong. No, this bloke is right. He's absolutely right to get the Strolling Bones. He is correct, because if you've got an ageing population like Lee... They'll be
there
in their bath chairs.
Demographic.
They'll be rocking their fingertips at the time when the Stones are on.
Teeth flying, hips breaking.
Yes.
It'll be great.
Yeah.
I think you're perfectly right. I think the Rolling Stones, should they really be on the road now? Yeah, they were brilliant in their heyday, but the thing is, they've not progressed, have they?
No.
And going to look after old people in Australia is a very good job for them. in the
dosage. Well, it is, because, you know, because it's such an aging population, all the hotel rooms are fitted out with hospital beds as opposed to those plush things.
Well, then Mick Jagger will be happy. What's the problem?
Exactly. Keith Richards will have his daily IV of, you know, God knows what keeps him alive, the blood of, you know, virgin boys or whatever it is. But, you know, I think it's
comedy
a great
boys
idea.
And girls, comedy boys and girls. Yeah.
It's all good demographics. I think it's a brilliant idea.
Well, I have to say, I do actually agree with Lee on this one, in that, you know, a lot of people chastise the brilliant, outstanding superstars called Status Quo.
Oh, my goodness. Did you say that out loud?
I did, I did, I did.
Was that a
Tourette's? That's like moment? That tiger, isn't it? A status quo.
Yeah, he's a spotted quo.
Yeah, right.
But the liver spot.
And they're always criticising Quo.
At the moment, but very rarely.
Yeah, thin. Right. So they're all saying Quo is what they mean. What they mean is they're just a 12-bar blues band. Well, to be honest,
they only know one song.
To be honest, in the old rhythm and blues genre, as it was in the 60s when Jagger and crew started, that's all they've ever done.
Do you know what they've done? They're doing now, right now.
What?
They're all over. You know the? Do you know the supermarket chain called Coles?
Never heard of them.
Okay, it's the opposition to Woolies.
Oh right.
Woolworths. Status Quo to all the ads for them.
Oh yeah, I saw that on Facebook. You're right.
Whatever
yes.
you want.
Yes.
Whatever you need. Like, I'm not gonna. And they hold big red foam fingers in their hands. I'm like, dude.
Right, you got a choice now, Rachel. Do we talk internet? Or do we talk a mass armada in Australia?
We better go the armada, okay?
Okay.
Today it is the Fleet Review. Now, so we're being invaded, basically.
Yes.
Four ships from around the
world.
The
Brits are coming, the Brits are coming. Yes.
And they're bringing their mates. They're bringing their mates with them. They've sailed into Sydney Harbour to mark 100 years since the Royal Australian Navy Fleet first entered the waterway.
Rach, I've got to correct you. You said bringing their mates.
Some of their mates.
The flotilla is 17 nations, including the United States, the United Kingdom, India, Singapore, and France.
Yeah, okay. Some of their mates.
Yes.
And some of them not so much their mates. But, you know, Australia at the moment... Come to our waterways. It's fun. So the Armada comes from 17 nations, as you have said. Now, a ship called the HMAS Sydney was among the fleet that sailed into the harbour on this day a century ago. They've had four ships that have carried that name.
Just repeat the name quickly.
HMAS Sydney.
HMAS Sydney.
Australia.
Oh.
Her Majesty's Australian ship.
All right.
Okay, overnight, the latest ship to carry that name, the fourth in total, sailed up the coast from Jervis Bay, which isn't too far, escorted by these 20 warships. Now, at one point, these guys were only 500 metres apart. I saw it on telly today. It was mind-blowing.
So basically what you're saying is that we should all look it up on YouTube and watch the big event.
You should, but guess what? The exciting thing is for all the girlies out there is that because all this is going on, there's a very special officer who's coming to visit and have a look.
Quickly.
Right,
Prince Harry. That's the end of postcard
His
from Pop
Royal
Brad.
Indigenous.
That's the end of postcard from Pop Brad for Australia Week. Produced by Rachel Brunson with my co-host in England, Lee G. Banks. I'm Eric Wiltshire and I'm sounding rather like the BBC. Don't forget to get your Windows phone and your Windows app from the stores for your computer. And you can, if you've got your phone, you can listen to us walking down the road. See you soon. Bye.
From the heart of Europe to the world, Radio Tetris International. Online on Windows 8 PC, tablets and Windows phones.